You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody, it's Ken Davenport, and I wanted to say thank you for listening to the Producer's Perspective podcast. You're now listening to a special mini-series, the Producer's Perspective podcast, live from the pandemic. These are recordings directly from the Facebook Live series I started during the coronavirus pandemic, where every single night I interviewed a Broadway luminary and chatted about what they were going through, how they were dealing with it, and what they expected Broadway and theater to look like when it was all over. So join us for this very special episode of the Producer's Perspective podcast, live from the pandemic.
Hey, it's Ken. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, and I hope it's pulling back the curtain on this business of Broadway. If you're looking to learn more about what makes this industry tick, go to my website, kendavenport.com, and sign up for my weekly newsletter. I'll send you one email a week, one article about what I'm seeing, trends, insights, marketing ideas on what's happening on Broadway right now. That's kendavenport.com. Hope to see you there and in your inbox.
Are you ready for our guests? Are you ready?
Hi.
Hey. How are you both?
Hi, everybody. We're great.
What else are you doing up there? What are you doing to keep any projects going? You both are constantly working. Are you doing anything? You're both very creative.
Yeah, we're doing what we can. I mean, you know, I'm lucky to have a second life in literature. So I have a series of books that I'd written, which gives me like a door into publishing. And so I'm working on another novel this time. So my previous novels are for middle grade, which is 10 to 14 year olds, series called The Backstagers. If you're looking for something to read,
you can find it on Amazon.
You're 10 to 14 year old during this time. Mary, I also did audiobooks that are really
Mary's getting the delightful. Mary will put the link in
there. So you can listen to it if that's better for you. But now I'm working on a YA, which is, you know, a little older, a little more mature. So I've been writing, which has been good.
So tell us about, like, because I think a lot of people are struggling to be creative during this time because, frankly, the world is, like, exerting a lot of pressure. A lot of people are just like, I don't know if I'll ever get back to normal. Mm-hmm. How do you get up every morning, sit down, or whatever it is you do it? And do you have a routine? Are you writing at the same time every day? What are you doing to break?
I should, and I imagine that I will once. So books, when you're writing a book, you can just write to write, and then eventually you like submit a portion of that book, and then it will go under contract. You get like a deadline and an advance, and if you don't turn in the rest of the book on the deadline, they will take back the advance. So it really lights a fire. And so once that happens, I'm really good about writing every day because I have to, because like someone will come and take the money that I've already spent on my rent. If I don't give them a book at the end of that time, but I'm ahead of that step right now. So it would be better if I like had a routine and wrote every day. I know a lot of writers that do this, even when they're not under contract, just to stay creative. However, because this is sort of my second career, like I'm not a career novelist yet. I don't have that kind of discipline yet. So I really kind of have to wait to be inspired, which is not a good thing to do if you're a creative person, but that's where I am right now. I'm sort of being gentle with myself in this time. And like, there are some days that I'm super productive and I write all day. There are other days that I just play Final Fantasy all day and I don't even think about the book.
This is true.
And that's important to me, so.
And Michael, are you playing Final Fantasy with him?
I'm not. I you know, we have wanted to have his own private that and
you're
the world's worst at video games, so like I can't drive a car on Mario Kart. It's like, don't, it's horrible.
But you're another dual career guy, so you've been very successful in two things, just like Andy. So what are you doing now for the, are you working on directing projects? What are you doing?
Yeah, I've got some projects that I'm working on and trying to do some pre-production on, you know. Who knows if they will happen, you know? So it's sort of this like It's like Indiana Jones throwing out the pebbles and walking across the abyss a little bit. It's like, well, I get, you know, well, let's work on the design. So I, you know, I have a lot of meetings with creative teams on projects that may or may not happen in the fall. And I am wrote a script, a film script 10 years ago. And I have been revising that with a friend of mine, and she's in LA. So we work for at least like an hour and a half a day, I'd say probably.
Yeah. You've been better than me.
Have you done any of these virtual readings? Have you done either of you? You done anything on Zoom?
I did a rehearsal for what was going to be a live reading of a new play, and there were such difficulties that they canceled that. But now I've gotten an email that we're going to go back into like virtual rehearsal, and then do like a private virtual reading for the theater that was going to do this play. Like the theater was going to do this play, then everything happened. And so then the theater was going to do like a live stream of the play to the public, like that anyone could watch. But there were so many characters in it, and it's like such a big play and a long play that like in the rehearsal for that live stream, we were like, this isn't going to work. So now we're going to like have like four rehearsals over Zoom to then do like a private reading just for the theater, so that in hopes that, you know, they'll do the play when everything comes back. But it's tricky, that Zoom reading thing. We watched the Jason Brown live stream, his Subculture live stream last night, which I thought was like a triumph technically. And I, having done that reading previously, it was very clear to me what a triumph that was and how much work must have gone into that, because it's really hard to get these things to work and to be exciting and not just like feel like you're on a weird call with your aunt, but that you're watching something theatrical and that you're an audience member and that's the thing you're watching, because it's all kind of egalitarian. And
I've been trying to actually develop something that I can talk about here and maybe pick your brain, because I want to, like, everyone feels like, oh, we should be creative, we should be like trying to figure this out, and you know, artists need to make things, you know, but it's also important for artists to like receive things too. Mm-hmm. So I would say, if you're like watching this and you're like, oh my god, I haven't like written my screenplay yet or like whatever, like that's okay. Like somebody, you might need to like actually learn how to cook. Like maybe that's what this is. Maybe that's what you can be doing. Are you going to actually
like watch all those Criterion movies?
Or watch the things that can inspire you. So I think like wherever you're at is where you're supposed to be. But I have been, and this was inspired by some friends of ours own an inn nearby. It's an inn and a restaurant that we love, and they moved from Brooklyn a few years ago and started this inn. They have two kids, and now their business is like completely decimated because this is like peak season for people to come stay with them. And so I wanted to try to figure out a way to raise money to like save their business. So I'm trying to do that and create a theater piece alongside it, so that we house the company of the theater piece in quarantine at their inn and present a nonverbal dance theater piece that is site specific in upstate New York that the audience drives in to see and never leaves their car. So I'm working on setting up a Kickstarter page currently to raise money to do this too, that will employ some actors and give them food and housing for 2 weeks and $250, which is not much, but at least something that they can like sink their teeth into, and to really help try to give some revenue and keep this small business alive in my town up here.
Drive-in theater.
Like drive-in theater. So you get like a pin drop on your phone, and you would drive to that point and then press play on a Spotify playlist you got sent, and then a ballet might happen around your car.
So here, this is the comment that we please post.
I will. I haven't finished it yet. This is all brand new, so it's probably a bit premature for me to be talking about it. But
yeah, you're literally the first people.
This is the first. You're the first people to hear about it. But I think it could be really exciting, and it's a way to make something interesting and exciting. And you know, I often think that when you have constraints on something is when you can do your best work. Like, no, you can't have more than, you know, you can't sit next to someone. Okay, so, and I don't want to do a Zoom reading. Hate to say it. I find those completely, I don't want to stare at a screen to watch theater. I want to see people. So working on that.
Well, it's not surprising to me, given your work on Spring and on Once on This Island, to want to do something that people would say, oh, that's impossible, that's very difficult. But it's so unbelievably unique. So make sure you do give us that Kickstarter, because we'll put it in the blog and we'll let people know about it, of course. And it just seems like the next extension of the type of work you do, which is so immersive in nature, or breaking boundaries between where that audience begins and ends, or if it's just theater all around us, frankly.
Yeah, I think there's something to this. I mean, we're going to have to figure out something. I think Broadway is going to, you know, will be like kind of the last piece of the puzzle, is like getting people to sit that close to that many strangers. So in the meantime, what can we make? Where do people feel safe? Because you don't want your audience thinking about something else, whether that be like, is that actor wearing a wig, or am I going to get COVID? Like, that's not what you want your audience to think. You want them to feel safe and feel secure so they can really give themselves over and live and project themselves into the story or whatever piece of art they're seeing, which is why people like love TV, is they're like, I feel safe on my couch.
Yeah.
I feel safe in my parked car with the windows up too.
I'm thinking about how often people cough in the theater. Like, you're at the theater and you're like, how? I've never
especially
heard
during the quiet
so
scenes.
Many coughs in my life. And then like, what's that gonna be like? What's the first cough in a theater like when we're finally all back? Like,
I worry about that, and about how people will react, because you know, when people get scared, they
get violent.
They don't always react well. So.
If you're doing an Arthur Miller play, you're screwed. Like, this is the thing. You have to do like big, loud rock musicals, or forget it for a while.
Yeah, exactly. No Pinter, that's for sure.
Right.
Poor Andy Baker.
Pauses will be ruined.
Andy, with just your actor hat on, and Michael, mm-hmm. with just your director hat on, you're both doing a Broadway musical, and they say, hey, guess what? Good news. We're coming back tomorrow. But here's the thing. It's only going to be 25% of the house is going to be full, and you're going to see there are going to be spaces in between everyone. Do you want that or no? Would you say, yes, let's do it, or no, let's just wait until we can get everyone sitting next to you next
time? I mean, I'm used to playing, you know, half full house at 10, so I would say that I want that. I mean, I am the person that we were just talking before we got on the stream about, like, will, even once we know that it's reasonably safe to be in a theater, will people have the confidence to go sit in a theater? And like, will, you know, even once Cuomo says like we're all allowed, will the audience actually be there? And I was saying, I have faith that they will be, because I know just me personally, I'm so eager to like get back. Like if I get an antibody test, and if I know that I can take personal responsibility for my like mask, my hand hygiene, my health, and go and take some amount of personal risk to like sit in a theater, if I know that I'm healthy and I'm not putting anyone else in danger, I would want to do that, because I am so hungry to like get out and get back to my life and get back to the things that I love. So I would say if I was an actor, I would love, you know, whatever version of theater is allowed to happen, and then incrementally until it's back to what it was and what it should be, personally.
And I have a show that might be happening this fall. We'll see around Thanksgiving. And yeah, if we have to sit 6 feet apart, let's do it. Let's do it. You know, I think the type of work we're going to be making, and the types of shows you might see, and the type of theater that we might be moving toward, is going to be different, because it's like, you know, maybe it won't be so many like movie adaptations, because like we can see the movie at home. So like, what is really going to get me to go to the theater to have an experience that I cannot have at home?
So what, Michael, you're obviously such a great interpreter of revivals. Is there a revival, a classic play or musical that is on your hit list to do?
Oh God. I've been lucky enough to do two of my favorites with you, Ken. I really want to do Oliver, Cabaret.
Cabaret?
I really want to do Cabaret. Get ready, world. I mean, like, I want to do Into the Woods. I want to do the Sondheim show. I want to do every Sondheim show. So, working my way through those.
What if we did them all in rep on a unit set?
I mean, sure.
Wouldn't that be fabulous?
Great, let's do it.
On a unit set, one set.
And you'll watch
all
it from your car.
Sondheim
we'll
books.
Do it in a car.
Oh, I love that. A moving car.
Andy? A role for you that you'd want Michael to direct you in?
Well, Cabaret. I really want to play Cliff. I've always wanted to play Cliff. I would want Michael to direct me in Big River, because it's a show we've both already done before. And so I think we would, like, similarly to the way we worked together on Spring Awakening, we both have such ideas about the play. It would just be like a really fruitful thing. And I know I'm a little old for it now, but I have this idea that, you know, it's like, he's already, Huck is 10 years old. So like, anyone playing Huck is too old. So you just have to, like, commit in kind of that Celia Keenan Bulger way that, like, I'm a child and, like, we're doing this. And
I really want to do Secret Garden too. Sorry, I'm just throwing that in.
Speaking of
Secret Garden. And you got a chance, right? You did the...
It was the first show I was ever in as a kid.
Who were you, Colin? Mm-hmm.
And he was fabulous in that World AIDS Day concert. That was World AIDS Day, right? Or was it Actors One? In like 2006, was it?
Yeah, with like Laura Benanti and Steve Pasquale.
Michael gave a legendary wick in that.
I saw the final dress rehearsal.
Probably on YouTube. I'm sure it is.
Yes. Yes. What is the show Broadway in the world needs to see on stage? Do you think we will need, want more comedies? Do you think we will, what will the appetite be after all this is over?
I think the appetite will be, if not purely like escapist broad comedy, I think we will have I know me personally, I have an appetite for something uplifting and joyous and beautiful. Like, I would be glad to cry in a theater, but like, cry from beauty and the joy of being back in the world. Like,
and being human.
We were watching the Today Show the other morning, and like, they were all in their little Zoom bubbles and talking about COVID, and then all the commercials. Somehow now all of the corporations in the world have like whipped out this COVID content like really fast. I don't know how, but every commercial is like, we're all in this together, and we're all, you know, like, and everyone's like washing their hands and clapping for the people. And I'm like, I get that we need to talk about this because it's the most important thing in the world right now. But I also, when I turn on the television, like, I want anything else right now. Like, I'm so hungry for just like a show about, you know, the things we like about life, that's what I think we'll be hungry for. So like, beauty, life affirming, uplifting, and like, comedy's always good, but even like, but I don't want like banal tragedy. I want operatic tragedy, if I want tragedy, you know.
Banal tragedy.
Banal tragedy.
Such a mood, Andy.
It's very Annie Baker. Tragedy. Banal tragedy.
Thank you both for spending some time with us. I really appreciate it. Take care, both of you. Stay safe up there. We'll see you both soon.
Bye, everybody. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
Yeah, stay safe.
Thanks again for listening to this very special episode of the Producer's Perspective podcast, live from the pandemic. If you enjoyed tonight's episode, do us a favor and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And hey, while you're at it, leave us a big standing ovation review, will you? And check out my Facebook page at facebook.com/KenDavenport for more live stream interviews just like this one. Except on the Facebook page, you can actually see our faces. So check it out at facebook.com/KenDavenport. We'll see you there. We're getting the band back together.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.